And now, Forward with Falk. Join Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen as they navigate their way through the political thicket. Dave, this has been a big week, with one thing and another. The shutdown ended. It seems like there's going to be a war in Latin America somewhere. The United States may attack Venezuela. SNAP, used to be the food stamps, which were supposed to be restored, are now having to be reapplied for by 42 million people, which is a weird way of restoring it. But what's the most interesting is what happened in Luzerne County, where the Democrats had a phenomenal comeback in terms of the election. And the Democratic Committee in Luzerne County unanimously voted, with three abstentions, to dismiss the chair because of bad leadership. Leadership is the question I'm raising with you. Between the eight senators in Congress, Chuck Schumer, the Democrats in Luzerne County, what the hell is going on?
What we have here is a failure of leadership, or are we living in an era when leadership has become so difficult because everybody is somewhat of a free agent, wild card?
Not on the Republican side.
No,
only on the Democratic Party side. Yeah.
Well, I think the Republicans are kind of moving towards that thing. Remember, Donald. The leadership didn't want Donald Trump to begin with. It's just that, as people say, Democrats fall in love and Republicans fall in line on that. But, you know, Luzerne County was interesting because they just had a success where over the last two cycles, they've gone from having only one of 11 members of the county council that runs the government to now having an 8-3 majority. And you would think that that would be something really, really a feather in the cap of Tom Shubilla, who was the county chairman. But instead, there seem to be these underlying issues percolating, and the group of committee people or whoever ran a vote of no confidence. And as you said, it was nobody voted for Shubilla, that they had confidence in him. So he resigned, his assistant resigned. We'll see who emerges as the chairman. The one thing that they've had I just lost my train of thought. Oh, that they've had the registration problems where Luzerne County flipped from being blue to red, and seems to be continuing that trend, although it's somewhat slowed down.
But they carried the vote despite the registration.
Yes, they did. And then the Republicans down in Luzerne County seem to be split to a certain extent, because there's this group that calls itself Luzerne Republicans that we're going to bring in, of all people, Kyle Rittenhouse, to speak at the Woodlands Inn, and they were not backed by the regular party. And when the backlash to this kid who had shot and killed two people in sort of a vigilante type of situation to which he inserted himself, the event wound up being canceled. But you know, whether it should have been run in the first place under the auspices of any Republican is a question. So that was the local story there.
Because on the national level, when we had the shutdown, and the shutdown existed because the Democrats were united in the shutdown, and they had a strategy. The strategy was they were going to defend health care. They were going to make sure that at least they were going to try to make sure that the subsidies didn't end, which permitted so many people to have health care. And then eight Democrats, including the second in command of the caucus, Dick Durbin, broke ranks. And the woman who organized it, Senator Hassan from New Hampshire, said that she wasn't operating on her own. She was in touch with Chuck Schumer the whole way. She knew every day what was going on. What kind of leadership is that? What the hell's going on there?
Is that the old Obama slogan, lead from behind?
Yeah, but how about not leading at all? How about somebody called them, these are the Vichy Democrats. comparing them to the collaborators in World War II in France.
Well, like I said, we'll see how, you know, this starts to work out. Remember, this is only a 2-month hiatus. They have to come back again in 2 months. In the meantime, the Republicans in the Senate pledged to take a vote on restoring the health care benefits that you talked about.
Yeah, but they're not going to vote for them. They're going to vote them down.
But that's one thing that the Democrats want. They want them on the record.
But they are on the record.
But people aren't paying that much attention to it gets lost in the overall. But now when it's an isolated thing, and they're going to have this issue to cast up in the elections next year. Remember, by pushing this into next year, now we're into that the by-election, the congressional elections. So you're going to have that.
Does that mean that you think Schumer can overcome the pressure within the Democratic Party for him to step down as the leader?
We'll have to see. I think it's
going to
have
to be. Because the same 8 Democrats are going to, I mean, they won't be part of the caucus.
No.
If the same thing is going to happen in 2 months, then what you're saying also is that in 2 months, the same 8 Democrats, at least, are going to say, we don't think the government should shut down. Whatever the Republicans agree to do, we'll go along with it.
Well, there are some
people
of them
will be hurt.
Yeah, well, I think that Fetterman will be of that course. I'm not sure some of the others are going to be. What I think they're going to say is, look, we gave the Republicans a chance, and they didn't take it, so we're not going along with them anymore. We'll see how that plays out.
But what do people who support the Democratic Party have a right to demand of the Democratic Party? Forgetting how it'll play out, what should play out? The Republicans have been. You make a good point that. And really, the point you're making is that the Republicans have been transformed. They don't have factions anymore. They follow the leader. But that's the same thing as saying that they're a disciplined parliamentary-type party, a national disciplined party. The Democrats are not. Are the Democrats, as an organization, properly organized to cope with a national organization? Can a confederation where the leadership is unable to corral its nominal members, able to compete with an organization which is disciplined and which can muster the vote? In warfare, they can't.
No.
I don't think in politics they can either. And that's what you have with the Democrats here, this party. And if Schumer, think about Lyndon Johnson. Everybody in Congress has read Cato's books, I'm sure. And if they haven't, somebody's told them about it. Can you imagine Lyndon Johnson putting up with such a thing when he was the Democratic leader? I can't.
Yeah. Well,
Johnson would have said, listen, I got all this dirt about you and your 5 mistresses. Either I get your vote or your wife gets this information, or whatever he would have done. He blackmailed, he cajoled. He wasn't a reasonable guy. He was a pressure guy. That was why he was a great leader. I'm sure Mitch McConnell did something of the same sort. But not Schumer. Not Schumer. Schumer didn't do anything to pressure them. Just the opposite. He knew exactly what they were doing, and he gave his tacit approval. I don't think he can withstand the pressure. I don't think he can last. Because I don't think the Democrats can pretend to be the opposition if they don't oppose.
We're going to see.
We're going to see, yeah.
We're going to see that. But before we get back to the national, because there's certain things there, we ought to mention the state. Because after months, the state budget being due on June 30th, and them going through all of July, August, September, and all of October, and almost half of this month, all of a sudden, boom, the state budget got approved and signed.
And the issue was that the Republicans were holding out for pay for a budget in totality that should be below $50 billion. And the governor, Shapiro, demanded the budget should be $50,500,000,000. So they were fighting about $2.5 billion.
Now, the Republicans got some things and the Democrats got some things in this. This was this is what politics is normally about, is compromise, but, you know, it shouldn't have taken this long. The Republicans got three or four things on this. Number one is they didn't expand the use of marijuana or the taxation of marijuana in Pennsylvania as a source. They didn't get taxation on skill games. They didn't
And the Republicans wanted them not to do that, right? They didn't want.
And the Republicans did not want to dip into the reserves in the rainy day fund, and they got that. And then they got this environmental thing about the regional collective for monitoring fossil fuels. And Shapiro agreed to drop out of that. The Democrats got, and that seemed to be the final straw, so to speak. The Democrats got, as you said, more than a budget that increased to over $50 billion. And they got a lot of new funding for schools.
But they didn't get funding for public transportation.
No, and that's going to be a problem in, you know, particularly in the Philadelphia area. It's the nature of a compromise, and you know, everybody lives to fight another day, and then there's going to be, you know, within a couple months, we're going to be back in the next year's budget type of thing. But the local municipalities were hurting because they didn't know where money, what monies was going to be approved or going to be available to them. By the way, speaking of local municipalities in Lackawanna County, we had a court decision about the reassessment that's, you know, been, what, 60 years overdue or something like that, that the judge said, no, we're not going to pause. The Republican on the county commissioner wanted to pause it, and the newly elected county commissioner ran on that, saying he would favor a pause, and he ain't going to be able to do it without becoming in contempt of court. So,
if they are in contempt of court, what would happen?
Well, the court can call them in and say, "I'm fining you. I'm ordering you."
As human beings, or as the county?
Probably as the county. Even if it was as personal, the county, I think, would be on the hook to cover them. But that only punishes the taxpayers.
Exactly.
It comes out of taxpayers' pockets.
Right.
So we had that this week, but you know, and then the fallout from everybody, from the 1/3 of people whose assessment goes up, they'll be, you know, voting against the the county commissioners, and the 1/3 that where the assessment went down, some of them will be voting for, and some of them will say, "I deserved it anyway." So you'll have to see, but. Meanwhile,
does the mayor play any role in any of this?
No, this is a county thing. Mm-hmm. The mayor is who is now maybe a lame duck, even though she was just reelected because she wants to run for Congress. Mm-hmm. Wanted to go back and revisit the issue of the community medical center having expansion and being rezoned to allow them to have a higher building. Mm-hmm. On that, the council is considering that. We'll have to see where that goes. You know, and how that may affect her bid for Congress. So we, you know, I want to get back though to leadership, because you started talking about the national level. Donald Trump has a problem in his leadership in one area, and that's the area of Jeffrey Epstein.
A big problem, right?
Yeah, the party is broken with him on that. As much as Speaker Johnson has tried to hold it together, it didn't work. There's going to be a vote this week, and supposedly there were only four Republicans who were going to vote against the president, but almost everybody who watches this said the dam is going to burst, and you could get maybe 100 Republicans, because the MAGA base has been demanding that the files be released by the Justice Department. Congress already has some of the files. The estate of Jeffrey Epstein has released some of the files, but there's obviously something in there that the president doesn't want. Now, his, after all of the roadblocks that he's been putting up, he finally pulled the ultimate roadblock this week when he directed the Attorney General, who shouldn't be directed by the president in these matters, but she's a lapdog, to review the files, but only for, wrongdoing of Democrats and his political opponents, like Bill Clinton or Larry Summers. And there's a few other names that that they're going after on that.
Well, that's interesting, because the particular attorney involved is the Southern District of New York attorney. And one of the Democrats involved is a guy named Reid Hoffman, who is one of the big donors to the Democratic Party and a fundraiser. And guess who was his lawyer? But the man who is now the man in charge of the Southern District of New York. So
Jake,
on at least one case, he's got a real conflict.
Well, the I thought that she appointed someone special. I thought she appointed Jay Clayton.
Jay Clayton is precisely the guy who was Reid Hoffman's lawyer.
Okay, well, that's going to be interesting.
Yeah.
That's going to be interesting. But the move is more than just, the being a lapdog. It then invokes Justice Department policy that we cannot release publicly information of an ongoing investigation.
Ah.
But that only festers it. Lanny Davis has a rule, when you're involved in a scandal, get it out fast, and get it all out, and then get it behind you.
But that is not Trump's approach.
No, and because he's been successful in stonewalling so many things in the past, this one ain't going away, though. So leadership on this is, people aren't following leadership in the Republican Party on this. So that's,
well, he's broken with Marjorie Taylor Greene because of this.
Yes. Well, she broke with him.
That's right.
And she's, she was always somewhat of a maverick, but always a partisan Republican Trumper a maverick. People are starting to wonder where the heck she's going, but we'll find out.
Well, but the point is that Trump threatened her with a primary. He said he'll endorse anybody who stands against her who's not as crazy as she is.
But he hasn't had full success on endorsements.
No.
Remember, in Georgia, he endorsed Herschel Walker?
Right, exactly.
Came close, but didn't win. So we'll have to see. Meanwhile, you talk about, Republicans in line. The Supreme Court had a couple things this week that we need to talk about. One is they stayed away from getting involved in a case involving same-sex marriages.
The Obergefell case, right?
Yeah, to review that. and it was a convoluted way of doing it, but it was there. Basically, Kim Davis, who was a clerk in Kentucky, refused to issue marriage licenses and got sued. And they were trying to get the Supreme Court to get her off the hook. Didn't work. The one thing I was surprised, they denied hearing the case, was that we didn't hear more of an opinion from Clarence Thomas, because he had previously talked about reviewing things like this. The only thing he doesn't want reviewed in terms of people's rights is interracial marriages.
Right.
For obvious reasons.
Right.
But they did. There was no commentary when the court declined, and it meant they didn't get four votes to do this. But they did take up the Mississippi case about counting votes after after Election Day, votes that are properly submitted and postmarked or filed on or before Election Day that don't arrive after Election Day. And
don't arrive until after Election Day.
Right, right. Mississippi gives 5 days. Other states give, some give three, whatever, but over half the states have provisions that will keep counting. And there really is no reason to not keep counting because they're still counting ballots that were cast on Election Day in person in many places. And as you pointed out to me previously, in some states it's all mail-in ballots,
right?
Like Oregon. And, you know, and who would want to disenfranchise troops? You know, the troops have been voting by mail-in since the Civil War. They voted during World War One. They voted World War Two. You know, they're out there defending the right to vote. And people are saying, we're not going to count your vote because it came in late because the mails couldn't get here in time from God knows where. Some aircraft carry out in the middle of the Indian Ocean. You know, that kind of thing. So that was something. I want, you know.
And of course, Pennsylvania is one of the states involved in that.
Yeah.
That was an issue that passed through the Pennsylvania courts on two different cases and came down on the side finally of you don't pay attention to the date.
Right.
You just, if the thing arrives, it arrives. Count it.
Yeah. Now, you know, one of the people that tried to change the Pennsylvania Supreme Court because of its liberality in that was the richest man in Pennsylvania, Jeffrey Yaz. And he was interviewed this week on Mike Smirkanish, but he was interviewed about the fact that he had given $100 million to this new enterprise, this college that was started by Barry Weiss, the former New York Times columnist. And, you know, I almost fell off my chair. He was, you know, giving the real double standard stuff that these libertarians often do. And he started by criticizing Harvard. He said, you know, we want more people to go to other schools, not just these elite schools. He said, and look at Harvard. They have this huge endowment and they're charging tuition. And he said, when is enough enough? And I almost fell off my chair thinking, well, you know, what about Elon Musk? He's the richest man in the world. And he just asked for $1 trillion pay package.
And got it.
And got it. You know, when's enough enough there, Jeff?
He doesn't get it, he's quitting.
Yeah. You know, I'm taking my ball and going home.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure, you know, that doesn't apply to the billionaires who are manipulating the system, to get even more and more money or to avoid more and more taxes. And he didn't even talk about the fact that most of the money or a good chunk of the money that goes to Harvard is not tuition money, but it's grant money to do medical research, to do things like try to find a cure for cancer. Those things, you know, you're not going to, the person is not going to win the who cures cancer is not going to win the Nobel Prize because they worked at, you know, Luzerne County Community College. I'm sorry to say that, but they don't have the infrastructure there.
No, there's no reason to be sorry. The various levels of the educational establishment exist at the level that they're at because each one serves a particular function, fulfills a particular need and not another need. If you want to learn how to be a radiologist, you go to Johnson College in Scranton. That's what they teach. And you can become a very fine radiologist. You don't go to Harvard where they don't teach radiology. They teach something else. That's how it works.
Yeah. Well, they teach how to devise new machines that give you better radiological clarity in engineering or invent whole new things.
Yeah.
So we had that. There were a couple of other things that I wanted to mention that Trump did this week. He issued pardons to a lot of his cronies that are meaningless in legal terms, because these are for convictions or violations of state law over which he has no pardon power. But they do signal more of, his crony type of authoritarianism and corruption, crony corruption. If you violate the law for me, I'll bail you out, type of thing. Mm-hmm. And then he also indicated that he's going to back off some of his tariffs. He won't acknowledge that the tariffs are causing inflation, but in beef prices and in coffee prices and in banana prices and fruit prices, it is. So he's going to undo some of his tariffs. There was that one congressional hearing when Secretary of Commerce Lutnick was asked, and was embarrassed by, I forget who it was that was examining him and said, when he said, well, if we bring everything back on shore, we won't have to worry about the tariffs. And it was pointed out that we can't bring coffee production and bananas on shore. The only place in America you can do that growing is Hawaii, and it's not enough. They're too busy growing pineapples, I guess. So we had that.
But, Trump is not lying. When he says that the tariffs have nothing to do with inflation, he's right. Only workers and people who shop and have their prices go up think that the tariffs have something to do with inflation. But the statisticians who calculate inflation deliberately don't include the price of food and the change in the price of food in the inflation index. The inflation index, because it's too volatile. So yeah. Trump, who famously believes that if you don't test, you won't have a disease because you won't know about any instances of disease, is completely right to say, well, inflation didn't go up because of the tariffs, even though the prices for everybody went up.
Yeah.
It's all double talk. It's all lies.
But what the shutdown allowed was that some of the bad news about unemployment and inflation, those statistics were not released.
No.
Because they weren't gathered, and we may never see that.
Right.
We may never see
that. But what ADT, who the payroll company, said was that despite the fact that the government, which last released the September statistics and said that there was a net gain of 55,000 jobs, that wasn't so. Upon looking at the actual numbers, it turns out we lost 3,000 jobs. We didn't gain 55. So that continued the decline in jobs.
Right.
Under the Trump administration.
The other thing, they floated an idea of a 50-year mortgage, which immediately got panned because people realized that what it does is it benefits the banks and the big hedge funds who own things, and doesn't allow people to build equity. It may temporarily, lower monthly mortgage prices, but virtually doubles the amount of money you're going to pay in interest over period of time. And you still won't own your own house. It's basically renting at that point for interest payments. It's enough for people to rise up and revolt. And this week, we're going to start Sunday night on PBS, Ken Burns' series on the American Revolution. It's a 6-part series. I've seen him interviewed on television. It looks extremely interesting. And, Americans may learn more about how to stand up to tyranny. And
doesn't Ken Burns say that it's true there was a revolution, but it was also a civil war?
Yes, because there were many Americans that stood on the side of the loyalists, probably more than the rebels in places.
Exactly.
Next week, maybe we can give a little bit of a review for it. And it'll always be out there once it's there. But again, it's education and lessons that it'll be interesting to see how many MAGA people actually decide to watch it.
All right. That's it for this week.
That's it for this week.
We've had a week in which we asked the question, this is leadership?
A penny for your thoughts on that, but we don't have a penny anymore.
We don't have any more pennies, exactly.
Okay. That's my 2 cents.
All right, it's getting worse. See you next week.
Next week. Bye.
You've been listening to Forward with Falk. Longtime Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen discuss politics. Join them again next week, same time, same place.